The following is a presentation of the All Andy Alford Network right here on Spotify, as you are listening to the plethora of platforms right here on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, on Spotify, Bleaker, and Stitcher. However you listen to our show, wherever you take in our show, thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning into the show tonight. You could always be a part of our show by following us on Twitter. It is at All Andy Alford. It is at All Andy Alford, as well as facebook.com/AllAndyAlfred.
Guess who's back?
All Andy Alford.
And a shot at a goal.
24 runs in the span. I'm going to get shut out. Dumbino!
Hit to a home run.
Go home, Jack.
That's way back.
Put some extra relish on my hot dog.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Choo-choo, it's time for All Andy Alfred.
Would love to welcome in tonight not only a baseball aficionado, but this man knows his horse racing too. He's like the Eddie Olczyk of horse racing, but he knows his baseball, and it's a good friend of ours, a good friend of the podcast, of course, and the one and only Lucas Sigurdsson joining us right here on All Andy Alford tonight. And Lucas, welcome to Derby Week.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Andy.
Well, it is...
Best week of the year. It is. Up to the greatest 2 minutes in sports.
Yeah, the greatest 2 minutes in sports and all. I was telling the listeners here a little bit ago that, you know, the first Saturday in May is always the best tradition, and I think one of the best traditions in sports. With the, like you said, the fastest 2 minutes in sports, and, you know, it leads up to what is the, you know, the Triple Crown, which is the holy grail of horse racing. And you know, we saw it with American Pharoah a few years ago, Justified a few years ago. Now we're seeing the new story with these new 20 horses that were announced today. But, you know, we've got to go back to some of the history that is of the Triple Crown. And you know, your reaction on the Triple Crown and how you got into horse racing too at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, the Triple Crown, you know, it's the pinnacle of horse racing. You have the Triple Crown, you have the Breeders' Cup. Those mm-hmm. are like the two. The Triple Crown is synonymous with everybody, whether they watch horse racing or not. Everybody knows the Kentucky Derby. Everybody, you know, I think it's so funny. The Kentucky Derby is the time every year where people who know absolutely nothing about horses, they bet on a horse because of, you know, its name or its number or the color of its silks, you know. it's like the melting pot of horse racing. Everybody just comes in and watches that 2 minute run. And hopefully, you know, for the love of the sport, sticks around for yeah. the rest of the Triple Crown, you know, to watch the Preakness and the Belmont. For me, horse racing, it started for me when I was a kid. We had a local harness track in Toledo Raceway Park. I'm sure yep. you're familiar.
Oh yeah.
My grandpa, he would go all the time, and he would take me with him periodically. And me growing up, I mean, I loved horses. But then being with him, being able to spend the day with my grandpa at the track, like it was so cool. Just like being around it, like I didn't know anything, you know. I'm sure I didn't pick very many winners back then, but but it was fun. It was fun tagging along and being there and just kind of watching the races. And so that just kind of stuck with me. Like, and as I've gotten older, I've just gotten more and more interested. You know, I remember watching. I watched Triple Crown every year. But over these last couple years, starting in 2021, I started to really get into it a lot more on the handicapping side, mm-hmm. Just kind of studying the fields and studying the horses and reading about them, and just kind of, you know, paying much closer attention. You know, I used to just watch the Triple Crown. That was basically it. But now I'm like, you know, I'm watching races almost every day. It's just kind of a passion of mine, I guess you could say. You know, just something I really enjoy following. You know, a lot of great horses, a lot of great jockeys, great owners, you know, a lot of fun stories within the sport. It's an industry that's it's a lot of fun, a lot of really good people in it. And yeah, so I just, the Triple Crown, I mean, there's nothing like it. You know, it's just the Derby is the greatest. The 2 minutes in sports, the Preakness, the Belmont. It's a spectacle, and I look forward to it every year.
I know
this year is no different.
Yeah, I mean this is going to be the 149th running. So next year will be the 150th, which is I think very, very, you know, for it to be in existence and continuing through 149 years of this race. It's just absolutely amazing to see. And you know, you think about all the Super Bowls that we've seen. And that's taken place, you know, it's almost double, even triple the amount of Super Bowls to compare to the Kentucky Derby. Because we're at, what, Super Bowl 54 right now, and we're at Kentucky Derby 149. That's just absolutely amazing to me. You know, and it's like I said, like you said, you know, it's like one of the oldest traditions in one of the original sports back in the day was horse racing. And to see that, see what this sport has become. It's just absolutely amazing. And you brought up a good point. You know, you're watching horse races every day. I watch it on occasion on Saturdays, you know, because I think the publicity that Fox Sports has promoted with America's Day at the races and seeing the different tracks and seeing the different horses, you know, it's become more and more of a popular sport, especially now in our younger generation, because you know that legacy is from what it was back in the day. It's now coming down into us, and you know this is one of the best, like I said, one of the best events in all of sports, and it's the fastest 2 minutes, but it goes and it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going from, like you said, with the Triple Crown, with the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, and then you get that rare occasion like what American Pharoah did and just sweep all four with the Breeders' Cup at the same time.
Yeah, it's it's fun for me seeing the younger generation start to get more into horse racing. Because, I mean, you think of it, it's a very storied sport, of course, and there's so much history to it. And really the older generations have been really the charging force behind that for years. But nowadays it's fun. I think social media has done such wonders for thoroughbred racing as a whole. Just social media is such a way for younger audiences to get engaged and get interested. And I think a lot of folks in the industry do a really good job of just, you know, putting that in the forefront and really allowing or making the sport more accessible for younger audiences, which I mean selfishly I think is fantastic. I think that's what the sport needs to stay relevant and for people to stay excited and keep watching year after year. So
I mean, also you think of it too, the technology has definitely changed too, like you mentioned the social media at the same point. But also, if like you said, you handicap races and you bet on races, now you can go on to, there's the plenty of plethora of betting sites, whether it be TwinSpires, NYRA bets, what have you. You can honestly bet anywhere regarding of horse racings, no matter what the situation is. And you're seeing all the promotions that take place on social media, but they're also giving you all the information at the same time about the horses, about the track conditions, about the jockeys, and about what the horse is, you know, doing besides just giving you, oh, this is, or you having to go to like it used to be, like at a raceway park, or calling a bookie to make a wager. Now you can actually pull up your phone and you can make a wager at the same time too. But that, you know, technology has definitely changed from what it was to what it is today in horse racing terms.
Yep.
I mean, it's what it is. It really is what it is.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I love, like, I swear by TVG, and it's usually my go-to for, you know, when I'm betting horses. I did TwinSpires for a long time, and then I have nothing against TwinSpires. I think TVG's app is a bit more user friendly, and it has a lot of great tools. Even if you know nothing about horse racing, you can easily sign up for TV. I'm not
I know you're not promoting it. You're not. We're not promoting it here, but.
But if you don't know anything about horse racing or you're about the field, if you're going to bet the Derby, for example, you can create an account on TVG and you can read. They have horse bios and you know they have all the every horse's history, their previous runs, and you can read about the jockeys and the owners and. As a lot of useful information for if you know nothing about
if you're making horses, you're making your wise decision on betting, that would be the app to go for, because then you're researching about the horse, you're seeing what that horse's record, he or she's horse record is, whether it be a filly or a colt, you're seeing what their record is going to be,
and another thing, I mean just Google. You can Google. Everyone has Google. Just Google the field and just start reading. That's how I started really getting involved in the Derby as far as betting, from like a betting standpoint. I wanted to learn more about the horses, so I started reading about the horses and where they come from and the jockeys and the owners. Like, there's so many fun stories out there, or really heartfelt stories, and I think there's a really beautiful component to. Beautiful. That's a beautiful thing about every horse has its own story, and where its name came from, or hardships that the owners have gone through, I just think there's so much more to a horse than just like, all right, yeah, this horse is running in the Kentucky Derby. I always say that every horse in the Derby is talented. If a horse it's not going to run in the Derby.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We can get into it. Let's
go right into it. Let's get right into it. The today as we're taping the interview here on this on Monday, the 1st of May, today they announced the post positions for the 149th Kentucky Derby, as well as the 149th Kentucky Oaks, which will take place on Friday with the fillies, but the big boy race is Saturday, and we're going to get right into the meat and potatoes of that, and that is the main race, the big show on Saturday. There is 20 horses in this field, okay? And now Lucas, to the average person that listens to this podcast, is this a big field for this Derby this year?
Yeah, I mean, every horse in this field has. No horse in this field has seen a field as large as 20. It varies by track, but in your typical stakes race, you'll have anywhere from 8 to 12 horses, sometimes pushing 14 or 15, but by and large, the 20-horse field of the Kentucky Derby is the largest field that any horses running in it will have experienced in the past. So,
and you'll have horses that will scratch because of illness or if they're not feeling well for this. So it could go from, it could be a 20, but it could always decrease out of this whole 20 situation.
Yeah, absolutely. The posts are drawn today. They had the connections had to submit. Just basically verifying that they're entering into the Derby. I think that locked Saturday or Sunday, this past Saturday, Sunday, and then they drew the post today. If there are any defections between now and Saturday, there are horses kind of basically on standby that, laid out by points, who would jump in. Should there be any defections?
Is that what the case was in last year with last year's horse that came in out of nowhere and just came in on a Thursday, and he came. I forget the horse's name.
It was morning of the Kentucky Derby.
Wow.
There was a defection, and Ridge Strike took the place. I can't think of the name of the horse.
Yeah, but Rick Strike just to come in out of nowhere.
But Rick Strike takes a spot, post time 80-1 odds, and the rest is history. Still to this day, I watch the run, and it's unbelievable watching Sonny Leone. Weave him through the crowd of horses all the way up to the front,
and to win that race at, like I said, at 80-1 is just absolutely amazing to see that. And you know, we could have another moment this weekend. But
I told myself, I said, you know, I'm never gonna let that happen to me again. I'm putting at least $5 in every horse in the field. I mean, it would have proved to be a worthwhile investment.
It'd be a worthwhile investment. Somehow you're either going to win a lot or you're gonna lose a lot in that realm. So let's get into these horses really quickly. You know, you have from the one position, you have Hit Show. You have at two, you have Verifying. At three is Two Fills. Four is at Confidence Game. And then for me, number five is the one that, you know, I have a family member, my aunt. She says this horse right here, Tappet Trace is what it's called. Is that what it's called? Tappet Trace?
Tappet Trace.
Tappet Trace at 5-1 right now. I think she's been talking about it and she's been watching horse races for a long time. She says this horse is for real, and I just got to pick your brain on this on the number five horse really quickly. Is she right on this? Is this the one to watch out for?
Yeah, I mean, Tappet Trace is a talented horse. You know, nothing against him. I don't really like the five slot for him. I feel like he'd be a little better running, you know, a little bit further outside. You know, again, it just kind of goes back to the 20 horse field. You know, it's tough. You know, horses that are inside, it's going to be kind of a log jam. Kind of as things are getting going, you know, I mean, good horse. Luis Saez is one of the best jockeys around.
Mm-hmm.
He's the deserving second favorite. You know, he comes out of Kentucky. He's 4-for-5 in his career. You know, 4 firsts and a third. Very deserving as one of the top names heading into the Derby. I'm not as high on him. I can see him more of a Preakness style runner as opposed to the Derby. So.
And you're talking about the horse itself, not just the jockey itself, because it's the balancing of the weaving between both the jockey and the horse. But you're thinking that the horse, Tappet Trice, would be more prone to the Preakness, to win the Preakness, than he would be to this Derby.
Yeah, I just fear that it's going to be a bit tough of a, you know, bit. It's a lot of a mid-pack runner.
Okay.
Generally speaking, forward placed horses fare really well in the Derby. Last year being an outlier with Rich Strike, you know, storming away from the back. But as more of a mid pack runner, you know, being on the inside, I think it'll be a challenge, kind of getting forwardly placed, in good position to make a run.
Okay. Okay, see, you bought me with that. You really did. You bought me with that right there. All right, now let's go from 6-10. You have King's Barnes at 12-1. You have Reincarnated at 50-1. And is it Mange at the eighth spot at 15-1? And I was seeing this one at 9, and it's been kind of calling me ever since they got the post position and reading about this horse a little bit. You know, Skinner at 9, at 20-1 right now. You know, I think that line's going to definitely move with that horse. I want your take on Skinner. Let me hear it from you.
Yeah, I mean, Skinner, he has the best late pace rating in the field. So I fully expect him to be charging towards the end. I think the one thing that sets up nicely for a horse like Skinner in this year's field is that I don't think it's going to be a burning pace. I think it's going to be, relatively speaking, I think it's going to be a slower ride. Because there really isn't a strong speed horse in this field. There's a lot of tactical speed. But I think that paves the way for, that gives the opportunity for a deep closer to make a run at the end. Just because there's not going to be a whole lot of speed out in front of them. You know, it's kind of, I mean, the closer running style, I think, is interesting because I think it can succeed in speed, in a fast race, but then also in a slower paced race. In a fast race, you know, the horses that jump out to the front, if they don't have the endurance, if they don't go the distance, you know, they're going to fade, and that's going to pave the way for a deep runner to make a charge. But then same thing for a slower paced race, you know, a deep closer stays generally closer mm-hmm. to the front. So I think Skinner's an interesting horse. He's at 20-1 right now, morning line and odds. Juan Hernandez, he's a solid jockey. Not one of my top picks, but I can see him at least making the board.
Okay. You can see him in maybe in the super trifecta if you wanted to build the trifecta,
I can certainly, he's the type of horse that is going to be charging late, and, you know, a horse like that is sneaky. You know, you're talking about getting some exotic plays in there, some exotic trifectas or superfectas. He can certainly make a move and sneak in.
And then you got Practical Move at the 10 spot at 10-1 in the morning odds as well. So of the first 10 that you see of the horses from Hit Show down to Practical Move, what's the one horse that, you know, to you is just a surprise of what the morning odds were at going into this after their post position today?
You know, as far as morning odds, I think Reincarnate at 50-1, I think that's crazy to me. He's not going to be anywhere near 50-1 come post time. We're talking a former Bob Baffert horse here. You know, for those of you that aren't aware, Bob Baffert, stemming from Medina Spirit's disqualification after the 2021 Kentucky Derby, for the substance positive test, Baffert received a two year ban from racing in the state of Kentucky. They fought to try to get the ban lifted this year. Unfortunately, they were not successful. So Reincarnate was one of the horses on the Derby Trail that were transferred out of Bob Baffert's barn into Tim Yakteen's barn. Tim Yakteen is a former assistant trainer to Bob Baffert. We saw the same thing happen last year. A handful of horses transferred out of Bob Baffert's barn into Tim Yakteen's. I've always been of the mindset that, you know, it's kind of iffy, you know, switch from one trainer to another, just kind of, you know, feels like kind of a lot happening for a horse. You know, last year Taba was 2-for-2 in his career, heading into the Derby, former Baffert horse transferred to Yakteen, and ended up, he was one of the top choices heading into the race, ended up finishing, I think, 17th, or 15th or 17th, somewhere in that
race. He was 15th. I remember
he was a bit overwhelmed in the race. So it was kind of like, we've been kind of jumping off the Yakteen train here. But so at 50-1, that's a dangerously high number. I fully suspect he's going to come down. I can see him more in the, you know, 8-1, 9-1, 10-1 range, honestly, come post time, maybe even shorter than that. Another thing to look out for with Reincarnate, what strikes me about him is he has John Velasquez on board. John Velasquez, you know, he's one of the most storied jockeys out there. Several Derby winning jockey. He won with Medina Spirit in 2021, mm-hmm. of course, prior to Medina's disqualification. And you know, thing with John Velasquez, he knows how to ride the Derby. You know, he knows how to set his horse up for success. In 2021, Medina Spirit went right up for the lead, and he stayed on the lead the entire race. He was not passed. And you know, Reincarnate, he has some speed to him. I expect that Johnny Velasquez is going to ride him hard, and try to get to the front at the beginning of the race. Right when the gate opens, and you know, if you get Johnny V, if he gets out in front, you know, heading into the first turn of a Kentucky Derby, you better watch out, because you know he knows how to stay there. So I think Reincarnate the Seven Horse is in a really interesting spot. I'm a big fan. A couple other horses that we have the Verifying, the two horse Verifying. I'm really excited for Verifying to run. He's actually out of Justify. This is Justify's first.
Okay.
First runner in the Kentucky Derby, or in the Triple Crown. Being in the two hole, the post position two, that's kind of scary because you're real inside there. You're talking 20 horse field. Mm-hmm. You see the gate when the gates open. The horses on the outside are gonna they're gonna move over. It's really important for Tyler Gaffalione to get Verifying out of the gate quickly, just so he doesn't get kind of in a log jam there. Same thing for the one horse Hit Show with Manny Franco. It's not an enviable place to be.
That was my next question. It depends on where you're when you come out of the gate and where you go. It's very, very important. So you're saying basically like any horse that's between the one through four right now, it's a tough draw because you're so close to the gate because you feel that the rest of the 16 other horses are coming up against the gate.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a scary place to be. As you get further down, I'd say one through five is when it's real peculiar to be, being one through five heading it, post time for Derby. I mean the four confidence game, I'm a fan of his. He's coming off a long layoff. He's very well rested, which is pretty uncommon for Derby horses. Usually see them run at least once or twice heading, in calendar year for the Derby. Mm-hmm. Conference game hasn't run since last year, I believe. So it'll be interesting to see what he does off a extremely long layoff for a Derby horse. James Graham, one of the most talented international jockeys out there, he's running confidence game. 20-1 right now. Again, he could be kind of one of the more exotic plays if you're looking for a long shot. I personally love Two Fills, the three horse. I'm devastated that he drew post three. I think he's a great story. He's proven successful on multiple services. He's a very talented horse that can, he's a versatile runner.
Versatile runner?
Yeah, he's very versatile. I hate that he's in the three. His jockey, Jareth Loveberry, this is actually his first Derby appearance. So it's always kind of a fun storyline heading into the Derby. I really wish if Two Fills were further on the outside. If you were in the 11, 12, 13, I'd be much higher on him. Big fan. I will not be shocked if he finds a way to pull this off. But again, being in the three is a bit of a challenge. So another horse a couple horses I do want to mention. In the 1-10 slots, King's Barnes and Mage, the six horse King's Barnes and the eight horse Mage.
Yeah.
A couple interesting runners. King's Barnes 12-1, Jose Ortiz. Mage 15-1, Javier Castellano. I'm kind of high on Mage. He kind of snuck into the field. He kind of a late bloomer. I think he's an interesting horse. I think he's got some speed, and I think in the eight post, that's kind of a really good spot to be in. Not too wide, not too inside. I would look for him to probably be forwardly placed and kind of be in the towards the top half of the pack heading into the first turn, second turn. So I think King's Barnes and Mage are in good spots. Skinner, we've already talked about. Practical Move, he's 10-1. He's going to be one of the top choices. I don't get as good of a read on him.
You don't get a good vibe out of him.
Not as strongly.
Yeah, not a strong vibe with Practical Move. As you are listening to All Andy Alford tonight, as we are previewing the 149th edition of the Kentucky Derby, as well as the 149th edition of the Kentucky Oaks. I am your host, Andy Alford, alongside my good friend and horse racing aficionado. I'll say he's also a writer too. I really like Lucas's stuff. He knows what he's doing here, ladies and gentlemen. That's why this podcast is, I'm taking in all this information too at the same time. But by the way, gotta make mention of this. Saturday's conditions, they're calling for rain. It's gonna be 71 and 60% chance of rain. So does that?
Don't tell me that.
So does that?
I'll be in the infield. Don't tell me that.
What? You're going to be in the infield. But yeah, 60% chance with 60% chance of rain with a high temperature of 71. So, I mean,
only Monday.
Yeah, it's a good thing it's only Monday. But Lucas, just before we continue on with the rest of the field. Does that change a little bit of the play if it does become like a rainy, sloppy course?
Absolutely. You'd have to dive into all. I mean, every horse has, listed the surfaces it's run on. There's a huge difference between a dry, fast dirt track and a sloppy, muddy, wet dirt track. Mm-hmm. Some horses take to it, some horses don't. And so that's, if it is, knock on wood, it's not. But if it turns out to be a wet day, that's gonna make things all the more interesting. I think a wet, rainy derby, I think that adds to the chaos. I think because if you have a dry, fast track, you're gonna get every horse's best. Mm-hmm. If you have a wet, sloppy track, you're gonna, not every horse is gonna perform. But that could be one of the, some of the top horses that don't take to it as well. And that paves the way for a crazy long shot. If he happens to not mind the sloppy track, that makes it really interesting. So
yeah,
but I'm hoping for 75 and sunny. That would be ideal.
That would be the ideal thing as you're sitting there in the infield having your mint julep and wearing your Sunday best in the middle of the infield, having a mint julep. That's what it's all about for you this upcoming Saturday. But let's get into the rest of the field. Of course, we just broke down 1 through 10. Let's go into 11 through 15 really quickly. We have Disarm, who's at 30-1. Is it Jace Road? Is that what it's called? The horse is Jace Road? Jace's Road. It's at 12.
Jace's Road.
You have Sun Thunder at 13. Angel of Empire at 14. And what got me really off the bat is the 15, Forte, at 3-1 odds. Being 3-1 on the opening morning odds was just a little bit of a shock for me when I saw that. Is that horse really worth the 3-1 odds there, Lucas?
Oh, absolutely. Forte, he's 6-1 in his career. He's won 5 in a row, including the 2022 Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Keeneland. He is by far the most deserving favorite heading into this Derby. He's done everything right up until this point. He's a spectacular horse. Performed well. I think the one thing that scares I'm fading Forte. I don't think he's winning the Derby this year. I think they're very high expectations surrounding him, and rightfully so. I think the 15 posts, I think it's a bit on the wide side. It's not as bad as being 17, 18, 19, 20, but, he's really going to have to be forwardly placed or at least towards the middle, being in the middle of the pack to try to, get well positioned to make a move. The thing with Forte, he hasn't improved in his year 3 campaign. Okay. His year 2 campaign was superb. He's run a couple times now in 2023, his 3-year-old campaign, and his figures haven't improved. He's won and he's undefeated this year. He's 2-for-2 this year, but again, his looking at the stats, looking at the breakdown of the races, he hasn't shown the improvement that you want out of a potential You know, we're talking potential Triple Crown winning horse. So
he doesn't have the criteria, right, basically, you're saying.
What's that?
He doesn't have the criteria for the Triple Crown side of this.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just fear that he's, I mean, he's the deserving favorite. I'm not knocking him, but I just, it just feels a little too good to be true. He hasn't seen what I want to see out of him to this point in his 3-year-old campaign. So, deserving favorite. I think he's going to be even shorter than 3-1. I can easily see a 2-1 horse at post time.
Could you see a 5-2 odds on him?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 5-2, 2-1, he'll be somewhere in that range.
Okay.
But you know, 6-1, winner 5 in a row, great horse. I just don't think. My gut just tells me that the Kentucky Derby isn't going to be for him this year.
Okay, so then you get into 16-20, and we'll get back to the rest of the field. You have Raise Kane at 15-1. Now the 17 horse, is that one of the first horses that's the Japanese horse that they've been talking about, which is is it Derma Sokogate?
Derma Sotogaki.
Sotogaki
is very talented horse coming out of Japan. He's performed really well over there. He won the Dubai World Cup.
Yeah, it was the Dubai.
Yeah, it really impressive run. He beat some really strong horses in that field. He was very forwardly placed. He was right on the lead and stayed there all the way around, which is really impressive. A couple things working against Derma Sotogaki heading into this Derby. He's very, very popular. A lot of pundits really like him. A lot of people are really high on him. He's going to take a lot of money heading into this Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I like the horse. Great horse, very talented. He's proven successful. I think back to last year, Crown Pride was Japan's big horse they brought over for the Derby.
I remember that.
He was really regarded heading into the race. Everyone was excited with his workouts. Didn't pan out in the Derby. I mean, Japan, it's tough for horses. I mean, Japan has been dominating internationally the thoroughbred racing scene. They are doing some really incredible things over there. With that said, it hasn't translated to success in the Triple Crown up until this point.
Yeah.
Horses from Japan just don't seem to travel well for the Kentucky Derby or the Triple Crown races. A lot of travel, obviously, and just a lot of things stacked against them. Mm-hmm. So that's, you have the Japan storyline heading, you know, working against them, but then also drawing post 17, that is a challenge.
Yeah,
you're very wide. He's a forward placing horse, so Christophe Lemaire, his jockey, is gonna have to be certain to break him for the lead earlier. He needs to be forwardly placed because you're so far outside, and you have to, you know, he's gonna have to make up a lot of ground. So really outside, and interesting little tidbit.
Okay.
Post 17 is 0-43 in Kentucky Derby history.
Ooh.
So that's, you know, it could just be coincidence, but you know, you're talking a lot of history working against this horse in this spot. Mm-hmm. So do with that what you will. He's going to take a lot of money. He's a great horse. I would just kind of be wary if I were gonna, you know, place any hefty wagers on Derma Sotogaki.
Okay, and then at 18 you have Rocket Can, 19 you have Lord Miles, and then the 20th horse is it Contura? Is that what it is? Contura?
Continuar. He's okay. Another Japanese horse.
That's the other Japanese horse. So you have two Japanese horses in this field of the 149th Kentucky Derby. And can you tell the listeners a little bit about what to expect with Contura?
Continuar. I mean, he's a tactical speed horse. He's 50-1. I think he's going to be one of the longer shots on the board. Coming out of post 20, that's a challenge. Coming from Japan, that's a challenge. I mean, last year we saw Rich Strike go out of the 21 gate and, you know, pull off a massive upset. So I'm not saying it's not possible, but I think there are some things working against Continuar. He has tactical speed. You know, there are factors if it's a sloppy track, if it's a slow race. You know, he could be in position to maybe make a run late, but I'm kind of hesitant to think that he'll have a strong run.
And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is the field of 20. Do you want to go over any specific horse for 11 through 20 that you want the listeners to, you know, take heed and say, hey, you know, for me, the 13 horse at Sun Thunder is an interesting one. I know a little bit about the history about the horse, but tell the listeners about that horse.
You know, I honestly am not super caught up on Sun Thunder. What do you know about Sun Thunder?
Well, I know he,
let's go with that.
Well, he's a fast runner, but you know, he has never won. He's won a few races, but it's just the fact that, you know, you draw out of the 13 position. The 13 position is one of the toughest. I think one of the toughest positions. You know, unlucky number. You know, and you know, at 30-1, it's really not that great of an odds for Sun Thunder to start off. And you know, in God's name, you know, the name by itself, it's like Sun's Thunder. You know, and this is coming from a guy who knows a little bit about the horse, just briefly, but you know he's,
yeah, I think he needs a faster race,
yes,
to, in order to,
that's what
be,
it is,
be in good position. So you know, looking at 11 through 20, I'm looking more at Angel of Empire
at 14.
Yeah, the 14 horse. I love Flavian Pratt. He's probably my favorite jockey. Okay. I think he's proven successful in New York and California, Kentucky. I think one of the best jockeys around, and I think Angel of Empire, I think he's going to be a bit shorter than 8-1, but if he somehow ends up in 8, 9, 10, 11-1 range, I'm definitely really interested in a horse like him. Mm-hmm. Not super wide. I mean, I think he's in a good spot to maybe make a run. I think he's a really interesting horse. You know, we've already talked about Forte. I think it's, you know, kind of interesting with, you know, Forte being right next to Angel of Empire. Mm-hmm. That could be kind of an interesting tandem. Angel of Empire, he's a closer, so he's going to need a faster pace.
So would you say Angel of Empire and Skinner are the two horses that you would want to, if you're looking towards horses that are racing towards the end, those are the two horses that you would want to take a look at and say, you know, they could be the ones that could pull something towards the end of the race?
Yeah, I mean, looking at their pace profiles, the four deep closers, you have Race Kane, Angel of Empire, Skinner, and Sun Thunder. The Angel of Empire, I think, is the strongest horse of those three. We've talked about Skinner. I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would look at, yeah, it, but again, I think the key for those four horses, I think you would, if one of those four is going to take on the Kentucky Derby, I think you need a faster pace. And I think my gut tells me that we're not, like I've already alluded to earlier, we're not going to have a real fast pace in this race. So I would be kind of wary if I don't know. So, I mean, if Angel of Empire, if he's at 10-1, you know, I'm going to put some money on him, yeah, at least in some exotics, but, I think this is going to be a race where you're going to want to be forwardly placed to have a chance to pull off the win.
Especially if the conditions are going to be what like I said here earlier, if it's going to be a wet track, you know, you're not going to get the best out of every horse that's there, because you're going to have those that are good on wet tracks, but you have also horses that are great on dry tracks at the same time. Am I correct on that estimate?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, every horse has its own personality and its own, you know, what it likes to run at. So, that's one of the variables that kind of can throw everything up in the air.
Yeah, it can throw everything up in the air. So, let me just, so I got it written down here. And I'm thinking this is what I was thinking. All right, I'm gonna do a super trifecta. I'm gonna do four horses. Okay, I'm thinking the 9. I'm thinking the 3. I'm gonna take the 2, and 15. What do you think?
So you got verifying 2 fills, Skinner and Forte.
Yeah.
I mean, in what order?
I mean, I would probably put Skinner to win. I would put 2 fills to place, and I would put verifying to show, and then, yeah, then I would put Forte as the 4th horse.
All right, that's quite an exotic ticket.
Put the 50 cent. Put the 50 cent down on that one.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, we've talked about the verifying and 2 fills. I think I love verifying. Telegraph and Leon, I'm not as high on from a jockey standpoint. Verifying out of Justify, I think that'd be a cool story.
Mm-hmm.
He's a forwardly placed horse. He's gonna be out for the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has to. I mean, you know, being in the 2, you have to break for the lead. Luckily, he's a horse that wants the lead. So as long as Gaffalion gets him out of the gate well, he could be in great position. Again, Skinner, you know, you're looking at a closer, which tells me he's not going to break for the lead.
Yeah,
he's going to be further back. How congested is the field going to get? You know, not saying he can't. Mm-hmm. He's an interesting horse, but I think just beware. If you have a faster pace, I think I'd feel better about Skinner coming in the home stretch.
Well, what would be your super trifecta if you're looking at this at the early with this early look? At this early look.
Oh man!
I mean, you said you're high on 2 fills, so would 2 fills be a part of your super trifecta?
I think if you pin me against the wall right now and I have to give you.
You give me 4 horses. If I got a gun to your chest and I said I need 4 horses for our super trifecta, what is your 4 horses?
All right, give me Reincarnate up top. Give me I'll do Reincarnate. Give me Confidence Game. Give me Mage. Give me Verifying. I can give you
That's why this field is so open to you.
Yeah, honestly, I've been telling everybody this like these last few weeks. Like, this Derby feels wide open. I mean, Forte, he's the deserving favorite. I'm fading him. I don't think he's gonna win. I don't know. I don't know that he's gonna hit the board. I can see him. You know, he can easily, you know, place or show. But I guess if I had to, you know, pin me against the wall, I would say he misses the board.
Mm-hmm.
I think it feels wide open. I think it's a 20 horse field. Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's early for me. It's only Monday. I'm no joke when I say, you know, this week I'm going to be like deep in the books reading about these horses.
Yeah.
Studying them, and you know, I probably won't have my solid pick until probably Thursday, Friday, I would guess. And then it's just like, you know, on my tippy toes waiting for post time.
Yeah.
You know, once I get my pick solidified. But yeah, I mean, they're, you know, I'm high on, you know, just give you a few names that I'm high on heading into the Derby. Not saying anyone's gonna win.
You play it at your own responsibility. That's what we tell you about here.
Like, if we give you a few names. You know, Verifying, Confidence Gain, Reincarnate, Mage. I'm real biased towards the kind of the 4 through 10 range, kind of where I like my horses to be. Like the, you know, 6, 7, 8, I like that range a lot. I think you know, some of the longer shots, you know, the Continuar, Lord Miles, Rocket Can, Raise Kane, Sun Thunder, Jace's Road, Disarm, you know, the kind of, you know, outside. Jace's Road, I think he's going to try to break for the lead. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll get there. I don't think he's that fast. I think he's going to try. Their front Drew is going to try to forwardly place him. I just, there's a lot of horses on the outside that just don't interest me as much this year. I mean, Dermis Sadagake, I think being in 17, we've already talked about, I think that'll be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be much more interesting if he were, you know, if he were, say, in the 5 or 6 spot, you know, that could be real, real fascinating. But, you know, it feels wide open. So, we'll see what kind of happens. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm kind of in that
4 through 10 range.
Reincarnate, King's Barn's kind of interesting. Mage is kind of interesting. You know, we'll see how it shapes out over the course of the week.
Absolutely. I mean, and like I said, these lines definitely change, and we talked about it before that the horses do decide to pull out and withdraw. There could be a possibility of a change on that, but you know, it's, you know, the best thing about it is that, you know, it's the first Saturday in May, and you know. And like Lucas said, like this field is so wide open that you don't have any one of these 20 horses could possibly win this Derby. But, you know, what Lucas is saying is basically 4 through 10 in his eyes are some of the ones to watch for with regarding of that. If I'm not mistaken, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 are kind of my top ones. I hate leaving out the 3. The 3 too.
I forget. I wanted to ask you really quickly. Who's the trainer for I'll Have Another? As I remember, and does he have a horse in this Derby this year? Because he was a Derby. Another one of the Rich Strikes that was a Derby horse that came out of nowhere. He basically got 2/3 of the Triple Crown, and then the horse was injured, and they decided not to run the Belmont because it's
Doug O'Neill. Okay. Doug O'Neill.
Okay, I remember because I remember that horse back then with Doug O'Neill, and that was one of those horses that I was like, that's. And he was a trainer out of nowhere. Nobody knew about him. Literally NBC had to find him. It took him 5 minutes to find him when he was celebrating with I'll Have Another. I remember watching that, and I'm like, because yeah. They were showing.
Doug O'Neill's actually suspended right now.
Really?
He had a horse test positive for something. But he received a suspension.
Jesus.
I don't think he had any horses on the Derby Trail though.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that answers my question right there. So that's perfect. You know, that's perfect. Absolutely. So the 149th Kentucky Derby will be taking place on Saturday. Is that still going to be on NBC, or has that changed? Because they were talking about how they were thinking about moving the horse races from one channel
to
it'll be on NBC. Okay,
yeah.
So it'll be on NBC, and that'll probably be around 6 o'clock or so. Because
post time is 6:57.
6:57. Okay, so it'll be more towards like 7 o'clock is the post time for that race usually.
Yep.
Okay, so then we have that.
I'll be there Friday for the Oaks and Saturday for the Derby.
All right, let's
and
speaking of the Oaks, let's get into the Oaks really, really quickly. I know you like talking about the Kentucky Oaks a little bit. The female race, of course, which will take place on Friday afternoon or Friday mid afternoon. The post positions were announced for that as well too today, as it was a 14 horse field. On this field, and you know, Lucas, you know, I'm not too familiar on the Kentucky Oaks all that much. I know that they run this race the same weekend, but you know, it's some of the best female horses are the best, yeah, the best female horses that are on the on this field that are gonna take to the track. We'll go through a few of them really quickly, and go through the post positions as well too. So the one is this also another Japanese horse in Mimi Kishka or Kakushi?
This who? Yeah. Let's see. I looked up my notes here.
Yeah, it's no problem. So you have her at 20-1 odds. You have.
It's let's see.
You have her at the 20-1 odds.
She's from overseas.
Okay. And then you have the Allie's Look at 15-1, Gambling Girl at 15-1, Southern Law, who is at 8-1, then you have Wonder Wheel at 12-1, Botanical, who has the best odds so far and is the front is the second best horse at 4-1, but Wet Paint is the odds right now at the favorite right now at 5-2. Tell the listeners a little bit about Wet Paint.
Yeah, I mean, Wet Paint is a very talented filly. Brad Cox trained, Flavian Prat jockey. She is very deserving. She's 4 wins and 1 second and 6 career starts. She's rode off 3 straight stakes wins by at least 2 lengths on wet, fast, sloppy, just, you know, wet, fast, sloppy, and fast tracks. So. She's silenced the doubters. Really talented horse. I think she's going to be tough to beat.
Any one of the 1-7 besides Wet Paint you want to talk about that's, you know, that's in the 1-7 field?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have another Brad Cox horse, Botanical. Brad Cox, he's owned the Kentucky Oaks. He's won it a couple times. You know, Botanical is, you know, kind of, you know, well, you know, what's the term? He's lots of riches, you know, between mm-hmm. between Wet Paint and Botanical. Another really talented filly. Wonder Wheel, you know, she's the, you know, 2-year-old champion. Filly, really talented horse, has a lot of name recognition. You know, she kind of going off at 12-1, which is kind of a sneakily good price. You know, if she stays kind of in that realm, I will happily throw some money her way. Joel Rosario riding, 4 wins in 2 seconds and 7 career starts. She's a really talented horse out of Into Mischief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she could kind of make a surprise run here. I also really like South Lawn, the 4 horse. She's an 8-1 right now. You know, I think she's kind of proven successful. Just kind of an interesting, she's shown some versatility, you know.
Okay.
She's been out front, she's pressed the pace, she's stalked the pace. You know, I think she's a serious win candidate here.
Okay.
Those 4 really interest me as far as those top runners.
Okay, so then we get into 8-14. 8 is the filly of Promiser America at 30-1 odds, and then you have the 9 horse, which is Tell Me No Lies. Tell Me No Lies at 15-1. The Flying Connection at 15-1 odds. Defining Purposes at 12-1. I like this one. Darth Vader, which is at 20-1 odds at the 12th position. Affirmative Lady is at 10-1 at the 13th position. And Pretty Mischievous is at 10-1. Does that name really mean she's mischievous? Lucas, tell me about that 14 horse. Is she...
Yeah, I mean, Pretty Mischievous. Under Tyler Gaffalione again, Brendan Walsh, one of the best international trainers. This is a Godolphin horse. You know, 6 career starts, 4 wins, 1 second, 1 third. So been in the money throughout. You know, she won her first year career won her first two career races at Churchill. So she's had success there. I think she's, she's certainly fast enough to take the race. There's a lot of competition here, so.
Do you have any
tactical speed will put her in a good spot?
Do you have anything from 8 through 14 that we should take a look at? I mean, Tell Me No Lies is an interesting one at 15 to 1. Is that when you were talking about that horse? You kind of perked up a little bit on that horse, a little bit on that one.
Yeah, I mean, she's a nice filly. I don't think she has the speed to pull off this way. I think this is gonna be a challenging field for her. I think she has had 3 wins and 7 career starts, but I just don't. She doesn't have the speed. Her top Equibase speed figure is 88, which is one of the lower ones in the field. So not as high there. Promiser America, number 8 horse, out of American Pharoah, who I love. So it's kind of a soft spot for her, but again, only 89 top speed figure. I think she could struggle. She's shown some grit. She was well beaten her first 2 starts and then came back in her 3rd race, and seized command of the stretch and won by 6.5 lengths. Mm-hmm. So she can certainly make a run. Again, this is a challenging field to do so, with wet paint and
Botanical and Wonder Wheel and Southland.
Wonder Wheel but I gotta think, the 4, 5, 6, or 7, I think, those 4 are gonna be some tough mm-hmm. outs.
Okay.
So I'd say 4, 5, 6, 7. Looking for a long shot. Look at the 11 Defying Purpose. The 12 Darth Vader, kind of interesting. Affirmative Lady, it is John Velasquez.
That's what I was thinking too.
But
with Velasquez doing it at 13, I mean, he's probably one of my favorite jockeys.
She would need to take a big step forward to win here.
Yeah.
10 to 1, I expect her to be a bit longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Pretty Mischievous. So, we'll see.
Okay.
But I think it's shaping out to be, I think one of the top horses will end up taking it. I definitely look out for Wonder Wheel at 12 to 1. I think it's a really interesting number, and I'm all over it if she's around there.
If she's around the 12 to 1 rods, definitely go ahead and just put down a fiver down there and see what happens with her.
Put down a hundo on that.
put a C note down on that. Let's see what happens with that. So you said you were going down to Louisville for the Derby and for the Oaks race. So, to be honest with you, I take it you prefer the Derby more than you prefer the Oaks. Am I correct?
I mean, I'm just excited that, this will be my first time going, but it's always been a dream of mine. I've never been to Churchill. I've never been to Churchill Downs. I've been to Keeneland and Lexington, which I've always heard is far superior as far as like a total track experience. It's beautiful there. But I'm excited to experience Churchill for the first time, experience the Derby and the Oaks for the first time. The way I see it, it's going to be 2 days of partying. we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm really excited for just to kind of soak it all in. I'm hoping for some nice weather, but
not what you're hearing on Saturday. I'm telling you that much. Giving you the bad news about Saturday.
Yeah, it's still early.
It's early.
We'll clean up
hopefully. So yeah.
It's gonna be. I'm just excited to experience it all.
It's like I said. It's the fastest 2 minutes in sports, and it's the most fun. I think the most fun to watch of all sports. You have NASCAR that does all the like the 250 laps, and you've got the hockey and basketball which set the time limits, but this right here is the best 2 minutes in all of 2.5 minutes in sports.
Yep, absolutely.
So tell the listeners where they can find your information and what's your next piece you're writing on after the Derby, if you're getting ready for the Preakness right after that?
Yeah, I would encourage you to check out pastthewire.com. Pastthewire.com. I write. I'm one of the published writers on Past the Wire, covering all things horse racing. As far as my next piece, you know, I'm kind of interested to see what happens in this Derby. I'm sure I'll write a follow-up piece. You know, hopefully talking about the horse I selected to win that won the race. But you know, we'll see what happens with that. But pastthewire.com. It's, you know, a lot of great writers on there. Mm-hmm. We'll be covering everything Derby, everything Oaks leading up to it. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, and if you need if you need information with regarding of like the horses themselves and not on the betting figures and everything like that, and you want a full in depth, this is the place to go, because it's actual people that really, really are really passionate about this sport. And like Lucas is very passionate with it, and a few of the other writers are very, very passionate about it, and that is why this man cannot pick the winning hockey teams in the Stanley to make the Stanley Cup Finals, because last year he had the Avs and he was happy with it. This year they were eliminated by the Kraken, and I had to put that little jab in there for you.
Who eliminated your Blue Jackets this year?
We eliminated ourselves. Thank you very much. 7 days from right now will be when we find out where the ping pong ball lands. If we're going to be number one or number two.
You're picking sixth.
Oh, God. If we pick sixth, oh, God. I'm going to have to...
Who's the top... you're not getting...
Bernard?
His name. Yeah.
I hope to God we do, because we
Bernard.
Connor Bernard, yeah. But yeah, he don't need to go to Anaheim to sit there with Segrist and all them. He needs to So yeah. I mean that's just the way it is. But Lucas,
hey, maybe you guys can hire Daryl Sutter.
Yeah, I saw Sutter got canned today, by the way, for the listeners. Daryl Sutter got fired today by the Calgary Flames, so my mom says he looks like Grumpy from the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs with his when he looks angry at the podium, and I said yeah, imagine that. He'll be doing that probably 20 to 30 times with the Blue Jackets if he was the head coach. The front runner right now apparently for the jacket job is Laviolette, and I think that
Peter Laviolette,
yep, really? Because he got let go by Washington, and now he's got an open job, and that's who they're thinking about going for. So I'm down with that, but they're also talking about Dan Watson. You know, I said Dan Watson, but here's the thing. Grand Rapids. Yeah, he's going to get the Grand Rapids job. I think him and all that staff is going up to Grand Rapids. As soon as...
He deserves it.
Yeah, and think about this. You'll have a connection then for all three. Yeah, you'll have the new coach, whatever the new coach is, which will probably be Auden Hirschfeld. You have Hirschfeld, then you have Watson, and you have Lalonde. That right there, the Walleye Trio, all three.
Wow.
Think about that for a second there.
That would be cool.
That would be... The connection would be... Would be there. I mean, they're also were talking regarding of the Blue Jacket head coaching job was that Pascal Vincent, who was the assistant to Brad Richards, who was the coach from this past. Man, yeah, it was him. Yeah, Pascal Vincent. They're thinking about him. And Yarmo basically said in a press in a phone interview, he says, "Well, we like him. He's pretty good." It's like, why are you hiring the assistant coach from the last head coach? You got to gut the whole system. Gut the whole system from start to finish. You're getting a new coach. You're going to probably get the number one or number two pick.
Number seven. You're picking seven.
Don't say that. I seriously...
And with the number nine pick,
And the number one pick goes to the Columbus. Whoops! Nope, it goes to the Anaheim Ducks. And I'm going to be sitting there like... It's the way it goes. It's just the way.
That's all right. You guys get Connor Bedard. You signed. You got your boy Johnny Hockey, and you guys won what, 9 games this year?
29 games. 29 games. 54 points. The worst record in all.
Is he an assistant captain or alternate captain?
No, he's not even a captain at all. Jenner's the captain, and then you've got Boquist is the assistant, and Werenski's the other assistant. Werenski and Boquist were out. Jenner ended his season with an injury, and you've got you got Patrick Laine for another 3 years. You've got Johnny Hockey for 3 years. So now you get in.
No, they signed him for a long time.
Yeah, it's like a 6-year deal. But it's a 4. I think it's a 6-year deal. But, you know, the money's tied up right now. You want to hear something else, too? Nick Foligno is going to be released by the Bruins. And
he's 39 years old?
Yeah, well, there's a talk that he's coming back to Columbus. And if he comes back to Columbus, I think he's just going to announce his retirement after that. It'd be like a Nash thing, when Rick Nash re-signed with the Blue Jackets, and then he just announced his retirement, so then he just stayed with the organization. Because somehow, some way, all the best players come back to Columbus to be a scout or in development. I mean, look at Dorsett.
Has I gotten to this point?
Look, when we were there a few years ago, Derek Dorsett.
We met him.
Yep, we did. Jared Bull, Rick Nash, they're all in developmental now. So, Nick would be going back there. That would be perfectly fine with me. So Lucas, it has been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
And enjoy the festivities down in Louisville, and stay dry. And be careful and have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll give you my
solidified picks once I come up with them.
All right, perfect.
Be sure to send them your way.
All right, perfect. And we'll be waiting for
and
those.
If you want to get into the action, anybody, download the TVG app. TVG, download for free. You know, you can deposit $1, $5, $20, wherever you want to deposit. You know, have some fun, get in on it. You know, throw $5 on a horse because you like its name. You never know what could happen.
Yeah. And by the way, I remember back in the Raceway Park days, those hot dogs were the greenest hot dogs I've ever seen in my entire life. They were
I wish I could stroll down the concourse at Raceway Park
just
to see it.
Just one more time. Just one more time. And I live by the old Raceway Park, so that tells you something right there. So, Lucas, it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, no problem. And that is Lucas Sigerson. You can find his stuff on Pass the Wire as we got you set up for this, the 149th edition of the Kentucky Derby and the 149th edition of the Kentucky Oaks right here on All Andy Alfred. This has been a presentation of the All Andy Alfred Network right here on Spotify. You have listened to the show on the plethora of platforms, whether it be on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Bleaker. However you listen to the show, and whenever you listen to the show, thank you so much for tuning into the show. As always, you can follow our show on Twitter. It is @AllAndyAlfred, as well as Facebook.com. All sports lines are provided by Barstool Sportsbook. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit GamblingCenter.com. The podcasts are recorded right here on Spotify.